This is the Neverwhere Nights podcast for the week of February 23rd, 2007. This is episode 15. Hello, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I'm Trey, a.k.a. Astrakhan Zelo.
And this is the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. What are we going to talk about today, Trey?
Well, I came across a game event that I saw in the vault that we want to talk about. It's called A Paladin in Hell.
I felt like that before.
It's a timed, dated event, so we'll get to that a little later. I also came across another cool website. It's actually an RPG website, but they posted some news about our episode 14, so I thought we'd mention it. Knights of the White Wolf.
Cool. We also got a good list of voice actors that actually contributed their voices to Neverwinter Nights 2. So we got a list on the Internet Movie Database. And we also found another good list of 2006 Neverwinter Nights 1 Modules of the Year.
Yeah, and I put that link in there because I saw some names we recognized. We'll get to that later.
We also have a follow-up interview with Andy Carlson, the weapons and armor designer for Neverwinter Nights 2 from Obsidian.
This is our second interview with her, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we'll get to that later in the show.
So I heard you ran into some trouble in old Neverwinter City.
Not too bad. I spent a lot of time. You know, I'm on vacation this week, so I spent some time in Neverwinter City. Actually, I went back to Highcliff and worked my way back through and got to make some adjustments on the way I'm playing. I actually am now a dual-classed, so I'm kind of playing with that. It's something new for me, so I'm trying to figure it out. I am.
Ooh, playing with your dual-class.
Yeah, I'm a human, level 5 ranger, and level 1 barbarian. So I wanted to get some of that berserker and strength that comes from the barbarian with my ranger. So it's been kind of fun. See, I'm in like the third or fourth thing I get to do for the City Watch, and I'm trying to get into Black Lake so I can go find out some more about the shards.
I finally made it to the Flunkin' Dragon.
That's the Wait. Drunken flagging.
Oh, flunking. What is it? Dragon flunking?
You're going to get me messed up.
You know that inn that you come to?
The sunken flagging.
The sunken flagging. Yes. Anyway.
It's not anything to do with being a drunken dragon.
Anyway, I made it into there And that's where I figured out, oh, all my party's gone, and then I figured out you get to choose your party members as you leave that place.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that aspect of it because I've just gotten to the point where another person is asked to join my party. And whenever I got there, you know, I've already got 4 in my party, so I can't really add any more.
3's a crowd.
Yeah, well, you're only limited to you and 3 companions. But whenever I said, yes, I want you to stick around and help me, she says, well, I'll be in the, now you've got me messing up the name of it. I'll be in the sunken flagon, and anytime you want to switch people out, you can go there, and when you leave, it asks you to pick the member of your party that you want in there. So if you want to adjust who's in your party because this particular quest might do better with one of the other companions, you can go back and do that. I think that's really neat.
And then after I made it in there, I took the dwarf and took him to the monastery to fulfill his destiny, as he tells you that.
I'm here to... Oh, sorry, wrong show.
I thought he was going to kill the freaking monks in there. God, that guy's got a temper. Anyway, we finally got the monk to tell us what he had to do to fulfill his destiny. And now I have 4 more quests to go do.
Yeah, well, see, I did the same thing with Nishka.
I think I have 23,000 now in my journal.
You know, Nishka has this problem with Lindell because she and him used to be partners in Neverwinter City. So when you get there, you have to deal with all of that stuff. And to do that, I've hit, like you said, like 4 more quests just to go take that confrontation out of the picture so that you can get on with the game.
I'd be interested to know if other people think that the number of quests that you got to do in Neverwinter 2 can be overwhelming at times.
Well, maybe not if you sit down and play this thing straight through. There's a lot of the side quests you don't have to take to progress the actual storyline.
Really?
You could go through it and say, you know, I looked back as I've gone through areas. I look back at the strategy guide, and it'll list all of what are the side quests, which are not necessarily driving the main story. And you can do those. Like, you went to, at Fort Locke, you went to...
The Thieves?
The Thieves. Did you go to the Thieves camp and do that? See, I didn't do that at all.
Yep, I did.
I just bypassed that, went right on the High Cliff.
That part was actually pretty fun because you had to use strategy to take them.
Well, I went there once and got my butt kicked bad.
I think it took me twice. And if you didn't do it correctly, the people that you were supposed to rescue from there could get killed.
Yeah, it looked like it was one of those kind of deals. I said, whatever, moved on. Now in High Cliff, I finished all the side quests there. I found Junie's husband.
Have trouble finishing things, Jay?
Have trouble finishing things?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a personal question.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry.
I don't really feel like answering that right here. Well, I'm real excited to get to Annie's interview. So before we do that, what else have you been playing? Have you been playing any lately?
Yeah, I've played Neverwinter Nights 2, like I said. I also played a little bit of some more of Shadows of the Undrentide back on Neverwinter Nights 1. And I got to go down into the Stinger Caves in the desert. That was pretty cool. I'd never seen those creatures before. They're like scorpion men-like things.
That sounds weird.
But that's been pretty fun.
That's it? You're not playing?
Yeah, that's it.
You're not playing any of the other games or anything
else? Oh, yeah. We'll play Battlefield 2142. But we probably shouldn't put that on a Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Well, hey, we're gamers. I know a lot of people listen or playing other games, too.
Speaking of that, one night I was in the Thieves Guild chat room. Kenny got on and he wanted to play 2142, so I said, I gotta go. One of my 2142 guys wants to play, and somebody typed in, Blasphemy!
You know, I went to an RPG game and a first-person shooter broke out.
Well, so that's kind of what I've been up to.
What do we got?
You've been on vacation.
Yes, I have. I've been playing games and taking care
you
of kids.
You got a lot of your to-do list done?
Yeah, some of the big ones I got done. I got we have a gas fireplace, one of those mock fireplaces that we bought for Christmas. You know, typical man. You know, it's here February. I now have it hooked up to gas. We had it put together around Christmas, but we never did get it hooked up, so I just didn't have time to turn everything off and turn everything back on. But I did that this weekend, got that done. My daughter was out of school for President's Day, so I stayed home. A lot of fun palling around and going to a very famous donut breakfast place around here. We went to Rick's for breakfast, Rick's Bakery here in Fayetteville, which is a wonderful place.
Oh, I love their cake in a cup.
Oh, we didn't have that. I got their sausage rolls, which is like a cheese sausage baked inside bread.
Mm.
It was really good. But anyway.
You're making me hungry, dude.
And then so we palled around all day, and that was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And today, I set myself down to some serious gaming. I spent like maybe 4 or 5 hours to game today.
Well, that's no fair. I was at work slaving while you were doing that. Didn't even get on Instant Messenger all day, did you?
No, actually not. Not until later this afternoon.
Well, let's jump into the listener feedback. What do you say?
Okay, feet first?
Feet first.
Let's do it.
Hey, we got some listener feedback from a website, actually this time instead of an actual individual, called Online Game News. They actually posted a link to their website in our comments, which I think you deleted. Because it's not there anymore.
Well, actually, we were getting one of those on every episode.
Oh, we were?
Yeah, they were. I think they were spam.
Actually, they're not spam. This is an actual online game news website.
Because there was no...
They're actually posting news about us.
Well, maybe that's either what's that or they're causing it, because there was no information in the body of the message. It was just a subject. That was it.
Yeah, it's a blog.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
So it might be doing it automatically.
Clarified that, because I saw it happening the same thing over and over again. I go, this looks like spam, so I killed them all.
The actual URL, though, says productreviewsite.com. But it looks like it's an online game news website, and they looks like they have categories for dozens and dozens of games. Neverwinter Nights being one of them. And if you go to the Neverwinter Nights section, we are at the top of the news for episode 13.
So I wonder if they subscribe to our RSS feed and they're actually pulling RSS feeds together.
I don't know.
Because I see we're on here for episode 13, which they're one episode behind.
But I looked. I haven't seen.
But they also got DLA video tutorials.
Yeah, I don't see any other posts of us on here.
Yeah.
Unless they're in some kind of archive that I just can't see.
Well, I'll keep our eye on that and see what happened in there.
I saw it in the comments, and I went to the website, and they had some news about it, so I thought we'd mention it.
So what kind of comments we got on episode 14? I know we got a bunch for episode 13.
We got a few on, we got some comments from some new people in episode 14. We had our usuals, you know, like Eat to Surf. Dave from California had some more comments about death rules.
Yeah, I think we keep missing that somehow. I don't know if we've got it, the concept right in our head, but whenever we say it, it doesn't come out right, because there are some subtle nuances. There's also some differences, I think, between when we were talking about it. We were discussing how it was happening in Everyone Unites 2, and some of the replies we were getting back were how it happened in D&D and Advanced D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I kind of get confused. I'm going, well, how closely does In Everyone Unites 2 mimic that? Because I think they've tried to kind of bend it a little bit to make it more playable as a desktop game.
Right. And he also said, gave us a compliment on the interview with Bruce Nelson from OnlineRoleplayer.com. Johnny Ree left us a comment. Some more comments from Flaming Gnome Damage.
But what did Ree say?
Oh, sorry. He said, great show, and then he said, as far as ads and sponsors, he doesn't mind.
I think we got several comments back on that, which thank you guys for letting us get a feel for how you thought about that. And most of them were very positive, and we appreciate that. There's only one person that says, I really don't care for it, but I understand you got to do what you got to do.
Who said that?
Oh, where was that? You're going to make me go find it?
I don't remember that. That's why I'm asking.
I think it was an email.
I don't remember. I didn't remember seeing something like that in the comments.
I think it was.
I like what Halloween Foxy said. Level up your gear, guys.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. And actually, one of those from. Crap, which was it?
We also had.
Let's finish up with Ree, because.
We also had a comment, a new comment. We also had a comment from a new person called Enoah4. And he said, hey guys, I'm midway through this episode and I've listened to two or three previous. Kudos. Podcast is very enjoyable. You mentioned that you've never played paper and pencil and considered trying an audio-only PNB game. If you'd like to listen to some games, I've got two sites that can steer you towards. And evidently, there is a website called rpgmp3.com, and they host recorded PNB games, including a 40-part recording of a group that tackled the world's largest dungeon.
Oh, that sounds
and,
cool.
Yeah, and he says it's a great site and worth checking out. And I actually went over there and I've subscribed to the website or got an ID, and I'm gonna ask him to see if there's any material that maybe we can play in some of the upcoming episodes. Also, he said check out worldofskell.com, SKELL. He said this is a second edition based game by a bunch of hardcore role players. The World of Skell definitely gets an R rating due to language and content, but they are entertaining. Enoah4 also has his own blog, which I dropped by and checked out. That was pretty cool. He actually has a link to our podcast on there, too. One last feedback item here, and then we'll move on to our next segment. I was going through a thread out on the Thieves Guild, and I came across this. They actually have a thread on how did you find us. And you can get on there and post how you found the Thieves Guild. And a person named Noctambulist, and I did that correctly because he showed me how to pronounce it. he posted in that thread, he said, I was directed here by the wonderful NWN podcast.
Very cool.
And so I replied back to him and said, dude, that'll get you mentioned on the podcast.
this is not a paid endorsement.
Oh, I said, when I replied, I said, but I'll probably not pronounce your name correctly. And then he said, for the record, and then he pronounced it for me, Noctambulist.
My name is Mirik, a.k.a. Solace, and I'm the project leader for Sundren, a persistent world in development for Neverwinter Nights 2. Sundren is a roleplay-focused mond with a well-established background story that has been made in existing Forgotten Realms lore. That is not to say it will be without action. We have plans for a robust arena system, custom boss AI, all offering unique challenges. Sundren is a city-state located in a remote area of Faerun that was founded by a legion of wizards and miners seeking wealth beyond what was available to them in Waterdeep. Since its inception, it has grown from a series of shanty mining towns to a fully-fledged nation. However, like any successful city, it is plagued by hidden evils, corrupt officials, and neighboring enemies. We are having an open beta towards the end of December, at which time we will release our client package, which includes our world map and other files. I encourage everyone interested in the project to visit our website at www.sundren.org. That's S-U-N-D-R-E-N. You can track the progress of the server up to when it goes live sometime in December. Don't forget to register so you can give us valuable feedback on the forums.
So if you're a mod developer and would like to be featured in the Mod Spotlight, we've got a page on our website called Submit a Mod Spotlight. And you can go there and follow the instructions there on how to record it, how to structure your questions, and how to answer them. And you can send it to us and we'll include it in the show. Today we get a chance to catch up with Annie Carlson, a Obsidian Entertainment weapons and armor designer, and we kind of have a follow-up with her to see how everything's going since our first episode. This is going to be this has been 14 episodes so far, so we'll probably have this one in the 15th or 16th episode. So we talked to her way back on our first episode. So Annie, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Well, we just wanted to touch base with you and see what's been going on since we talked to you amid 14 or 15 weeks ago and get caught up with you because, you know, we've been seeing your name around the Internet all over the place.
It's kind of intimidating. It's cool, but, like, I keep myself away from any Google ego searches because it's like, do I want to know? I should just probably stay away. I've got stuff to do. Can't ego search. So,
well, we've seen you've been doing tutorials and presentations and interviews. Which one has been, like, your favorite one?
I haven't really done that many interviews. Definitely your guys's, and I'm serious about this one because it was really nice to, I mean, that was really the actual first, hey, can we talk to you, not, hey, let's find out about weapons and armor. I mean, because you guys did, but you, I don't know. I felt like I got a chance to actually, interact more with people. It's not just like, hey, here's text on a screen, or here they just want to know about this one thing. And it was just really, I felt like I got a chance to, it didn't feel like as much, something impersonal. I felt like I got a chat with fellow geeks. So that was cool. I like that.
Well, since we are the first podcast for Neverwinter Nights and the only one that right now, that it does bring a whole new medium to the community. So some of the text interviews are good, but like you said, you get a lot more interaction and you get to know people more when you actually can hear their voice and their reflections and how excited they are about something.
Oh, yeah. The Neverwinter 2 news one was a lot of fun. I was actually pretty intimidated by that one because that was, hey, let's hear about you. And it's like, Do you guys really want to? I mean, like, what do I have to say that you guys would find interesting? I was actually really nervous about that one because I thought people would think I was some kind of crazy attention whore. the chats I've been in have been like, oh, hey, we're going to have this chat with these people, and I want to hop in to see what people think and to see if I can give people any answers if there's specific questions. And those have been fun. I've really enjoyed those. But,
yeah, we've had a lot of fun working with the ThievesGuild.net guys and the team that they've got over there. And Trey and I were lurking around the scenes for that chat as well. So it was, that was a good event.
Yeah, when we finally gotten our connection to that up and running, I remember seeing Azurecon hop in and I said, oh, that's totally one of the podcast guys. And then I think you switched your name and I was like, oh, check it out. Like, you see it. It's pretty cool.
And well, I actually popped in and asked a question there about what you'd been doing since we interviewed you.
Yeah, that was fun. I was like, oh, gosh. Felt a little awesome there. Like, oh, yeah, well, stuff, cool things.
Well, we're going to assume that you're still playing Neverwinter Nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we'd ask you, what would be your what is your favorite class and race? I know you said the Arcane Trickster last time. Is that still your favorite?
It's really hard whenever anybody asks me that question, because I still have such a pen and paper mindset of, like, well, I'll go with what the party needs, or I just like trying a bunch of different things. I was actually, when we were running through testing, first and, what they did when we were, way back when we were going for internal testing, they'd roll to see what race you had and what class combo you had, and I ended up with a half-elf barbarian. I hadn't really played barbarians much, and when I got a chance to play her, that was a lot of fun, and was running through and enjoying myself there, and then I switched to, I love, arcane trickers because I like being all sneaky, and then casting spells is really cool. Right. But what I like to do the most is change up a lot of stuff. So, basically, and I've seen so many crazy, like I said before, so many crazy combos work out. Sometimes I like to just think about, well, can I pull this off? Would that be cool? Ryan mentioned he had an Asimar Berserker, Frenzy Berserker, and it's like, oh, yeah, you could work that out if you didn't. I should try that out. So,
we've been doing a lot of research on character creation lately. We've been getting lots of questions about that. And that's why you see some of the questions that we have tonight are oriented around there, but. That's one thing we're kind of struggling with, too. There's a new site called nwn2database.com that it's all about character profiles and character creation, and people are posting up combinations I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, it's just sort of staggering, all the different combinations that can happen.
And just getting amazing XP and AC out of them. You're like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, it's kind of funny that I think that the classes in Neverwinter are in D&D are pretty specific, but what people have been able to do, the flexibility that they can get from a class that is actually, or the unexpected things you can do with a class that in my mind is still pretty specialized, even as far as base classes go, is really remarkable. Like the sort of combinations that they can get to work, especially when you have a situation where, say, you have a caster fighter. Like, as an Eldritch Knight, how do you deal with arcane spell failure? Do you bite the bullet and wear that light armor? Or do you, I made the armor that has the spell, arcane spell failure minus chance, so you can just sort of wear that freely, but when you're just looking for normal stuff, that's a risk that you have to keep in mind. And though 10% doesn't seem like a lot, or 20% doesn't seem like a lot, when you're actually in there and you have a spell fizzle, that's a round lost and a spell gone. You're like, oh, well, crap. That was a way bigger deal than I had thought before. So,
what kind of things do you take into consideration when creating a new character?
When creating a new character, usually what I just go with is, I sort of grab whatever flitting idea goes through my head about, well, I should try this. Like, I tried this before, and I'll hit this now. Like, I do that a lot in pen and paper. I had actually been playing, and the reason I'd mentioned it specifically in, like, those chats was that I had been playing a Dagger Spell Mage. Like, the epitome in my mind of what I wanted a character to be of, the sneak, pew, pew, sort of like, oh, I can cast, and I can hide and sneak and get backstab and stuff like that. And I wanted to try something totally different. And a friend of mine is running an Eberron campaign where we're privateers. So now she's a swashbuckler, and I'm in there to fight and to do a lot of damage. And just being able to come up with that core concept of being this nimble fighter is something totally different, or I'd like to be a healer, just grabbing onto a concept, something I'd like to see, something I think that would be interesting to try, there's a new perspective, and trying to run with that, the position I would like to be in the battlefield, so to speak.
We also had some questions in about picking stats and your feats whenever you're leveling.
Yeah, that's...
It's tough.
It's always tricky because it can be really intimidating really fast if you just look at the huge array of things you can choose from, which is why I glom onto a concept right away and I try to think, well, what sort of role do I want? Do I want to be, do I want to dual wield? And then sort of think about having that two-weapon fighting and making that a huge point, or I want to be able to take more hits, so I'm going to, you know, I want those hit points to go up so I get con. I, you know, worry about fortitude and stuff like that. I worry about the weapons I can wield. I can worry about different things like that. And I worry about the sort of weapons, the sort of enemies that I'm going to be facing.
I've just recently become aware of how, you know, the feats build on each other, and there's prerequisites for some feats. And it's like, right. Well, I haven't really, you know, for the first year playing Neverwinter Nights 1, and the first part of Neverwinter Nights 2, I never really was concerned about that much about it. But then as much as I started looking into how do I get this, you know, I'm at this mm-hmm. point with my character in Neverwinter Nights 1 where I just can't seem to get any more hit points or AC out of me no matter what I do. And I'm starting to realize, you know, I made some bad choices on feats here because now I can't get the higher level ones because I didn't get the prerequisites in the earlier levels.
I think the system is set up where, like, skill points are a lot more forgiving in my mind. But feats are something that you have to try out a lot more carefully. With a concept, the first thing I do is, once I get those stats down, I start looking at an ideal feat progression. Sometimes it's nice because you can play for a couple levels and see what you really like, see what you want to go towards, if this concept that you had is something that is feasible and could work out, and then spend some time going through feats, checking prerequisites, and just sort of plotting out a little base progression in your mind about, you know, I should probably, when I get the next chance to get a character point, I should put it into, a stat point, I should put that into strength so I can handle that. And so feats in my mind are like the linchpin of the character that really charts the progression. Those are major things. So if you go through and have feats in mind, I think a lot of stuff flows from that. So get those feats down.
Yeah, I've been trying to go through and read up on them so I can understand, you know, when I get ready to make my decisions, what the right decisions are for what I want to achieve.
That always takes me the longest when I'm making a character.
Yeah, go ahead, Trey.
I was just going to be funny and say, make sure you have the right color socks, too.
Very important sock color.
Have you been any good chats lately?
The two that come to mind, like the Thieves Guild one, is a lot of fun. I wish it actually, there was some crazy server hoodoo going on that was.
Yeah, we heard you guys got banned.
Yeah, it was because we were all coming from the same IP, I think. Something that their server was just like, no, this is verboten, and we had to find a crazy workaround. And we lost way too much time to that. I wanted to sit and I wanted to talk more, especially when sort of the formal questions broke and everybody was more chatting openly. Like, I wanted to have more time to do that, but I had to run back to work.
Darn that work.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, getting away with things. But and that one was cool. Like, I actually liked that it was a little bit more chaotic when I had a little time to chat with people and that we could goof around a little bit. Also, the IRC chat that we had, the Xfire chat from before Christmas, was that ran like clockwork, and that was also very fun. Just like hard question after question after question. And the Thieves Guild was fun was in a different sort of way because there's a lot more chatting and a lot more working stuff out, and the questions that were asked were different. So I don't know. I thought both those chats were very fun.
Oh, I have a question about the chat that y'all did with the Thieves Guild. Is that normally how you run, you do those chats where you have somebody off taking all the questions and then answering the questions one at a time? Is that how those normally work?
I've only been in two, but that was how it worked with the Xfire one, is that a lot of questions had been collected. Somebody was collecting a bunch of questions. I think they had some beforehand. I think there was another channel that was totally devoted to asking questions and then sort of cherry pick them and then feed them to us in another channel, and then we'd answer them in the main channel. It's crazy. You're managing a bunch of windows at once. I know there was mentioning of, hey, it would be really cool to have something where it was all open and everybody could chat with one another. And I would really like to do that. It's just so many people. Like, how do you choose who gets in on that?
Yeah, open yourself up for the flood. Yeah, that could get out of hand real fast.
Oh, yeah. Somebody wants to spam, or, like, we had worries about how we posted our responses because the field was only so big.
Right.
I had to remind constant at the end, like, whoa, dude, some of your things got cut off. Like, oh, okay, All right, the end of that got cut off. Like, again? All right. So we were sitting and waiting for a response to finish before we posted our answer to our next question. So you're sitting there with your control V ready. So, yeah, it's interesting.
I didn't get to get in on the Thieves Guild chat until closer to the end because I had some family things I had to go take care of first. But, yeah, I had a great time with it, and I hope that we still see some more stuff like that in the future.
Yeah, I'd really enjoy getting in on that.
We're actually hoping to, train. I've just been talking amongst ourselves here, but we're kind of hoping to get into something like that in a more of an audio version where we could get kind of a roundtable discussion going. So
that'd be really cool.
Speaking of the Thieves Guild chat, Lisa of 66, the organizer from Thieves Guild that put that chat together, had a question once she wanted me to ask you. It said, why such the huge changes in female armor in Neverwinter Nights 2 from Neverwinter Nights 1? Why are they so unisex looking?
Well, I couldn't say a ton about certain things about that armor because I didn't design the base armors, which is mostly what you see when you look at an armor.
Right.
And a lot of the sort of stuff that I did was deciding how that would be tinted and handling attachments. But in terms of the base stuff, I know that there was more concern about making stuff seem, there's a lot grittier feel, a lot more realistic feel, stuff that had been used, sort of been covered up, that Neverwinter itself in that area had been through a war and another one was brewing, and also that it is very cold up in the north, so a little bit more covering made sense. And I know that one thing I think that people have brought up a little bit, or some people have sort of tossed off, like, oh, it's not an issue, but it was something that was very clearly in our minds, was that while we were making the game, hot coffee happened. And when we were in development, the issue with the Oblivion mod came up, which really made us worried, because that wasn't something that was hidden in the game. That was a modder's change. So that made us very concerned. And our licensors were really worried about us getting a potential M rating. And actually, I think there's armor for both genders that showed more skin. I know that there's a barbarian hide that springs to mind that I actually think I saw in a community mod remove the extra covering for.
No.
That was for both men and women. In the end, you sort of have to triage these things. I think that it's pretty unfortunate that the public in general is so like, meh, about a game being violent, but the second there's any sort of sexual anything in game, they're so psychotic. They just lose their minds about it. And I think, at the very least, hope that there will be a time when we can actually deal with issues about, sex and relationships, more mature topics.
It's almost like, well, killing's a part of everyday life, but sex, no, that's not.
Oh, killing is fine, but yeah, the second should be, you're gonna get kissing your boobs, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see a game that deals with that in a mature fashion, not in a sort of like, an M-rated, wow, crazy, the sort of over-the-top that it is right now. I would like to see it done in an actual, mature, handled well way, and I think it will be. But in terms of, choosing a battleground for that, Neverwinter 2 was not it. Like, that wasn't part of the core aspect of the game, so we sort of had to triage that out.
A lot of times those ratings are also concerned about kids, but the average age of people playing these kind of games is, up in the 20s and 30s now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and that was something that we had definitely kept in mind, and we thought, well, how much do we want to go to the battleground on this? How much of a core design principle is this? And we sort of looked at it and said, well, there's the realistic feel. There is, it's more in the north. It wasn't something that we just sort of went, meh, and forgot about. It was on our minds.
Right.
But,
when I created my first character in Neverwinter Nights 1, I wound up naked. Because, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't fix it up. I just jumped in there and trained him like, hey, you need to go put some clothes on.
Please put something on.
I'm the king of no pants.
Yeah.
Personally,
you got to see the AC on these boxers.
I think a lot of this, I have I'm not a huge fan of a lot of fantasy female armor, but that's just me and my personal belief about but I think major cleavage for the lose didn't go into this because it was just not in the base armors and. you got to have a balance between, like, well, this is what I want is me and playing the game, and this is what I know the players want. And this is also something where, like, there's a huge healthy mod community we knew, and it's like, well, you don't want to make the assumption of, like, oh, mod will take care of it, because that's kind of irresponsible. But in what you can triage and what you can get away with in the situation where there's, you have to worry about the press and the community at large and the Rift of Oblivion thing, and concern from the licensor's perspective, you really have to triage that.
Now, was the one in Oblivion where a modder created a mod that removed a lot of the clothing from it, and they actually forced them to change the rating on the game?
Is that the males could go shirtless, so you had man nipples. This was really ridiculous. And, oh my gosh, you could take that skin and put it on a female model, and all of a sudden, you know, oh, boobies.
Right.
So people lost their minds about that.
Yeah, because they actually made them change the rating on the game, which
was
not original content that they created.
Mm-hmm. And this was pure user content.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that was hidden in there. So we're like, whoa, got to be really worried about this sort of stuff. That was definitely something we were concerned about, and the licensor was really concerned about.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people play these games just for the role-playing aspect of it, too, instead of just the hack and slash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And that was something that we definitely kept in mind. I mean, through the whole thing, especially things like the influence system, and we wanted to have the sort of whole experience there. But you got to triage stuff. So that's an unfortunate part of any design. It's like, I really like this thing, but these other things, and yeah.
Well, Trey, you had a question you posted.
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and ask that?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and ask that. Hey, Annie, I was wondering if you could tell us who all was on your team when you worked on Neverwinter Nights 2 and how y'all interacted and worked together. Maybe just kind of give us an insight on that.
There were a ton of people on the Neverwinter team, especially because I came in on, like, the last 6 months when stuff was really heating up and things were really going crazy. Art side, I at first worked with T-Ray, with Tramell Isaac, and then Trent Campbell. And I was doing things with them, like checking that the models were imported correctly, things like that. I would check with Matt McLean, he's another designer, with things like the string table and making sure that things like item names and descriptions and stuff like that, that they were up to date, that items were placed in the world. And then I think it was Jeff Huskis after that, and Avalon took care of it a little bit, and Ryan over here took care of some too, Ryan Shinsky. And I talked to Josh a lot, Josh Sawyer, about, I had a ton of questions about different stuff, about new items. He was the one who gave me the directive of, like, we need more helms and we need more hats. And I went, please, because I like making hats. One of our programmers...
They're not turning into fuzzy hats, that's okay.
Well, one of our programmers, and this is something I was really happy about, one of our programmers, Anthony Davis, had suggested... And like in character creation, at first there was nothing really special for the prestige classes. And he said, oh no, they need to have a cool outfit. And Josh was like, okay. And so I made cool outfits for them. And the more we looked at it, Josh was like, all right, I want you to take these outfits and buff them to be specific and awesome for that class, because that's something to really look forward to. And so that was really cool, and I really enjoyed doing that. And I've, you know, done a little happy dance and bragged a lot about the duelist before, as you guys all know. And aside from that, I bothered Chris Avalon a lot really early on about story questions and stuff. I bothered the individual act leads for items and their levels. Later on, when I was making sure that items worked correctly, I bothered Andrew Wu, one of our programmers, a lot about stuff in the base items 2DA. But basically, in the end of the project, you become a crazy mass hive mind, and you work with everybody. You're just running around trying to make sure everything works correctly, everything's fixed. And so there's a bunch of people that I am a jerk and stupid and I didn't name, because they're just, you just work with everybody and you really become a cohesive unit. There are a bunch of people who I worked with very closely on that.
Oh, that's cool. I've always kind of wondered what it's like working in that kind of environment, so I thought I'd ask that question.
Crazy and fun, I think, is the short answer. Lots of people, crazy and fun.
Oh, and then somebody else wanted to know what kind of cars y'all drive.
Cars? honestly, it depends on the person.
Somebody thinks Ryan drives a Ferrari.
Ryan, what do you drive?
Honda Accord.
I think you may be thinking of programmer salary. We just have a Toyota. My husband and I just have a Toyota Previa that we got. Yeah, we're not like screaming around at Lamborghinis. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you get in, you make a ton of money, and you buy really fast cars, and just rip around and look awesome all the time. And although we do look awesome all the time, it is unrelated to cars. Right now, FYI.
Well, is there anything going on at Obsidian that people would just be dying to know?
Oh yeah, there's definitely stuff going on that people would be dying to know. They're really one
but,
of the.
But she's not going to tell you, Jay.
One of the downsides of game development is that you are hamstrung a lot by non-disclosure agreements. You
right.
have NDAs on this and NDAs on that, and I have friends who are like, "What are you working on? I gotta know." And I can't tell you. I can kind of just be like, "Yeah, this is great," for reasons that I can't disclose. The stuff that I can tell you is that we are doing additional content for Neverwinter 2, but there's no official announcements from Atari, so I can't be like, "Mom, I'm doing this." So can't be official about anything. Yeah, we are working on content, and it is super sweet.
Very cool.
And Aliens is rad. I don't know. That's really cool. It's lots of really exciting things going on.
Did you say Aliens?
Yeah, it's Aliens. Been going on the Aliens license that we're working on. I also have my current project.
Okay.
So, yeah, lots of exciting stuff.
When we last talked, you mentioned you were on a new project, which you were just mentioning.
Yeah, it's Project Georgia. Like I said, it's a next-gen RPG that we're working on with Sega. And I'm actually getting a chance to do a bit of writing. I'm working as like a writing assistant to Brian Matsoda, who did the story and dialogue for Vampire Bloodlines. He also did, like, I don't know, like 25, 30 of the voices in there, too. He's not credited for, which is unfortunate. It's really fantastic. So I'm doing, like, design, and I get a shot at writing work. And I'm learning just an absolute ton. Brian's really ridiculously good at what he does. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying myself, and I'm really excited. And, I really wish I were not during the NDA so I could tell you more, but you'll find out more. And
that's the way I felt when we were doing the tool set beta.
Yeah, just like, it's neat, there's stuff, and there are also things, and that they're great. Yeah,
and they're cool, and I can't tell you anything about them.
He wouldn't even tell his own clan anything.
Yeah, it's like you guys had to deal with that for those couple weeks, and it's just like, it's ongoing. It's a little crust to bear, you know, but it's cool. The thing that gets you through is, like, I know you guys will see the stuff eventually, and, you know, work in progress, and it's so exciting, and can't wait for stuff to get done so I can be like, here, world, check this out. It's really cool, so, I don't know.
Have you been checking out any of the Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent Worlds and other modules that are starting to get released? Because they're starting to come out now.
Oh yeah, I've been wanting to. I've been reading up on them, going like, "Oh, there's that, and we can do that, and there's all this other stuff here." But I have had like no time recently. As I mentioned in the chat, and this was the worst time to get sick. Like right after the holidays and during the holidays, I was hellaciously sick.
Well, I think the whole country was sick because we were all sick here too.
Yeah, there was a giant cloud miasma of sick. And so I spent a lot of time, I spent like half my day unconscious, and then I've been playing a lot of DS games because I can have my Nintendo DS sitting around and playing it, and like, oh, okay, and that's enough Final Fantasy III and me sleep now. So I've been away from my computer, more than I wanted to be, and I hear about these things. It's at the point where I could just, it's like I'm looking at it through glass. Like, oh, I like that one, that's pretty, that's neat, I like, do that one over there, but I just don't have the time for it.
Yeah, we were involved with the open beta on a Persistent World last weekend, and we've hit a few other Persistent World files that have been coming online, and they've been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been really interested also outside of Persistent Worlds to see what Rogue Dow Studios that are doing the Planescape one?
Yes.
I think it's Purgatorio. I'm probably getting all this wrong. But we've been looking at that like, wow, gee, look at that, they're doing all this stuff, and it's really huge and ambitious. And there are so many modules and so many mods and so many things I want to check out. And it seems in my mind like forever since November. or I should say October 31st. But yeah, it seems like in my mind it's been years since then. But I know it hasn't been that long. But what if I keep that in my mind when I look at everything that's been happening, I just get knocked right out of my chair. It's just unbelievable what people have come up with, these amazing things in this, you know, relatively short amount of time.
Oh, yeah. We're talking just 4 months. And a lot of them are waiting on patches and stuff coming out from you guys. And 104 seems to have been like the magic patch that fixed a lot of the DM client issues that a lot of worlds were waiting on, and they've been just coming out of the woodwork recently.
Ryan tells me something. 106 is going to be super awesome, so keep an eye out for that. But, like I mentioned, the content and the patches, you know, cool stuff is still coming, so that's exciting too. Like, oh, we're gonna give stuff, and we're gonna see stuff just sort of bloom, and it's really exciting. It's just like you pray for more hours in the day. You just wish for it because it's just, there's so much cool stuff out there, and there's so much cool stuff I'd like to get more involved in. But it's
I'll
like,
make you jealous. I'm on a week's vacation.
Oh, stop!
I have nothing to do this week.
What do you do now?
Sit down and play games.
Have you found any more falchions?
I haven't actually been able to get in game enough to do that, but actually the one I found was actually on Nepenthe Online, which was a persistent world.
Oh, yeah, so, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
You got to check that out and see if you can at least find Blade of the Hierarchs. I think that's
I'm going to
go
back.
I had a last-minute question come in.
Sure.
If I wanted to make a custom 3D object for Neverwhere Nights 2, what 3D software would you need to use? Something like 3D Max?
I think Max is the one that we're using. That's typically what I've seen a lot of artists use. It's a more art question. I would get stuff after it had been imported. But yeah, I think Max is the program of choice, the program du jour, whatever.
or do the game tools that come with the game, like the tool set, allow you to do that kind of stuff?
In terms of creating your own unique 3D objects,
right.
No. That's what you import it to get it put into the game. But
so you would use you could create it outside in say a piece of software like 3D Max, and then you could import it in using the tool set? That's how you would do it? Okay.
Fix it in the world.
Cool. That was actually a question from Kenny, one of our other clan members. He's on Instant Messenger, and I told him who we were talking to, and he goes, oh, I have a question.
Actually, I have a question for you guys, if you guys are going to be heading up to the Penny Arcade Expo this year, because I heard that you mentioned about the picture that was submitted with the interview was actually when we had gotten the opportunity to show the game up at the Penny Arcade Expo at the end of August in Seattle, and that was fantastic, and I think everybody and their mom should go. They were really, really nice to us. We came in rather late, and they said, oh, here, be the first thing that happens at PAX, have this 400-seat theater to show your game, and it was just full to capacity and phenomenal. And you guys should really go, because it would be cool to meet you.
Well, we're looking for sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Get out there, and it's actually...
Where is it and when?
Hint, hint.
It is, I think it's the 24th through the 26th of August. I know it's the very end of August, and it's in Seattle proper now at the Seattle Convention Center. It
had been
Bellevue before. So it's a ways, I know, but... it's actually really insane. Like the when it first started, and I think ever since then, there are just groups of cars. People just caravan there and just go through and start sweeping through and picking people.
Jay, sounds like a road trip.
We've talked about we need to start.
I had friends the first year who went from Minnesota to head there.
We're going to start smooching some people we know that are involved with the game and see if we can't get some help with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because we'd love the opportunity to record interviews and podcasts while we're there.
Oh, yeah. It's a really fantastic setting.
It's Trey and Jay live from Seattle.
I'm back.
Where the introverts stare at their shoes and extroverts stare at your shoes.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, just wanted to throw that out there.
Excellent.
Well, thanks a lot. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but... I'm sure you've got plenty of work to get back to.
Now it's Friday night. It's time to party.
Thanks for you guys.
So we always welcome you anytime you ever want to come and talk to us. we're here, so just give us a holler.
Awesome. Sounds great. It'd be a pleasure.
So you found this event that's a game event that's going to be set up on March 9th.
Yes, I was on, I was perusing through the vaults at Neverwinter Vaults. And in the community news, I came across something entitled A Paladin in Hell, which is going to be a DM'd game on the Persistent Worlds Sojourney, the Bloodstone Lands, which we've actually, I think, community spotlighted before on a previous episode. And it is a Neverwinter Nights 1 module, and I thought it was kind of cool that they're announcing an actual date and time when you can go to the forums and sign up.
Yeah, that's...
And they're going to let you come
this
in.
This may have
play.
Been done a lot in the past, but this is the first time I've ever seen something like this. Usually,
yeah.
Neverwinter Connections
I'm sure
is where
it
you
has. It's probably nothing new to... Probably nothing new to the community, but I think this is the first time we've seen something like this.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be cool to mention it. It's for characters. It is for characters of 15th to 19th level. And if you're interested in playing in this one-shot game, the player will be allowed to roll up a character of 15th level for this adventure.
Well, very cool. So if you don't have a character that's already 15th level, they'll let you go ahead and build one up to there.
I wonder how you do that. Is it like
the way I've
seen it, like that one night we were doing that when we were messing around with DMing on?
Yeah, I think that's essentially a DM event. You can, once your character comes online, the DM
just start
rolling you up to that level.
Interesting.
So if you're go ahead.
So let me read a little bit about what the event is about. Besides having the same name as the module, or at least in 1999. This adventure looks very different. The adventure takes place in 1372 in Trail's End of Dharma. In Trail's End of Damara, the Baron's daughter is kidnapped in the middle of the night, and a paladin, Clysandril, enters the hellish portal left behind by the kidnapper. As the paladin enters the portal, the Baron and his wife look on in horror as the portal slams shut with a boom and a puff of smoke. Puff. At the same time, a wizard's tower on the other side of Trail's End disappears. Left behind is a section of the wizard's tower and a rift to hell. So the PCs must gather to investigate the mystery, and what they uncover in their travels will shake the very foundation of the nine hells. Dun, dun, dun. I also came across a very spooky RPG website called The Knights of the White Wolf. And you can check that out at www.kow.net.
And what's it all about? I looked at the link, but it kind of confused me.
Yes.
Other than it scared me when it started talking to me.
It actually has a lot of flash on the website. And I think what drew me to the website was they actually posted a little bit of news about episode 14 on the 17th of February. So that is probably what directed me to the website. And it's just a kind of a cool flash website that talks about different RPG games.
So when you click on it and you go to the site, almost before the pages load, a voice comes on and says, "Welcome, guest." And just about made me jump out of my skivvies.
I know, yeah, it is kind of spooky. Spooky-ooky.
But it had some trailers that's running in the main page, and I have to admit, you know, Neverwinter Nights 2 was the second trailer that it played, but the first one was for Warhammer, and that looked pretty good, too.
I did do some research on Warhammer, because when I saw that, I then went and checked out their website. I think that's going to be a subscription game, kind of like World's Warcraft.
Probably.
It is going to be. I saw that it is. But it looks pretty cool, though.
I also thought it was really interesting that you've added a link to check out that is to the Internet Movie Database, IMDb.com, and they have a listing for Never Winter Nights 2.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I just came across that somewhere. Can't remember where I came across it. I think I was on The Vault, and that was another thing that I found. And it lists all the actors' names that they use for the different voices. I kind of perused down through the list. None of them kind of jumped out at me as names I'd heard before.
I was trying to see real quickly if it...
Greg Martin. Is Greg Martin... Am I thinking... I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, they actually did have someone do Dagon's voice.
Do what?
One of the voices I dislike is Dagon.
Dagon?
Yeah, your so-called adopted father.
Oh, yeah.
Because it didn't sound real. But to actually have a dude listening is Dagon Furlong, who played, the voice was James Murtaugh. Which that just kills me, because it sounded like it was generated. Electronically generated. But this guy's been in a lot of movies.
Naomi Peters is the voice of Nishka. She's kind of hot, actually.
Well, I'm
looking at a picture of her.
One of the things...
Last thing she was on was in Law & Order Special Victims. Well, oh, she was in King Arthur.
There you go.
The 2004 movie.
The thing that I noticed today playing through, and I guess I've only really noticed this because I was playing a long session, because I was on like 4 hours, is that the audio levels for some of the characters jump up and down. Sometimes you can hear them really well, the next time, especially Nishka, seemed to be the worst. And hopefully it's just this one segment of the game. She'd be real soft and you could barely hear her, so she's almost half volume of all the other actors. So that's kind of weird. I know.
Sure, wasn't just your PC lagging out or something, or was it just...
Playing single player on my local PC? No.
Oh, really?
It's just because the next time... It was in a cutscene, but the next time she talked, it'd be louder. The next time it'd be softer. The next time it'd be louder.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Yeah, just...
I haven't noticed that yet, so... I'll be watching for that and let you know.
Yeah,
that happens to me too. I also came across another cool list that the Vault posted yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's the 2006 Never Winter Nights Module of the Year list. And the reason I wanted to mention it is because I saw some familiar names on the list, like Bruce Nelson. His Light Reborn Legends version 1.6 is on the list.
Oh, it is. I see that now.
Yeah.
Well, you want to read down through this whole list and just...
Well, he said that when he first did the criteria for choosing the list, it originally... I guess he was picking modules that scored 8 or higher and that were submitted in 2006, and that came out to nearly 200. So he said, I gotta hone this down. And he honed it down to 64 modules.
So to create the list, he took all the modules that were submitted in 2006 that had been inducted into the Hall of Fame. That number came to 28 modules. Originally, he tried the modules that scored 8 or higher and submitted in 2006, but that was way too many, nearly 200.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So to make it fair, he said if your module is in the list and has a score of at least 8 or higher, you can email him and he'll add it to the competition, even if it's not in the Hall of Fame. So.
And he's going to leave the list open and start the voting on March 1st.
I was going to say, this is where everyone can come and vote for these modules as the top ones of the year. So I guess these are basically the nominations list, is it not?
There was an update to this, because last night it said he had narrowed it down to 64. It now says the first list of 64 was wrong due to including modules that were updated in other years. So now it's just a smaller list. Because I do remember, like when I looked at it last night, the list was longer than this, but now it's smaller.
So it looks like a lot of the nominations on there, like Werven, Crown of Cormyr, the premium module, mm-hmm. The Art of Death, Black, Back in Black.
By Hugi.
And Dance of Rogues, Part 1 and Part 2. Part 2,
by Baleen.
AL3, Tyrants of the Moon Sea.
By Alexander.
Elm Raven by Foster Pot.
Fester Pot.
Thank you. Erebeth Redemption, Chapter 1.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Daniel
Muth.
Erebeth Revival 2 and Epilogue.
Interesting. I'd always wondered what it would be like to continue her story.
There's Evertine, A Nation Dreamed.
By Artisan. And
then there's Darkness Over Daggerford by
Artisan. Isn't that a game producer?
You know, I don't know.
Heard that name before.
Darkness Over Daggerford by Ossian Studio. Dragon Dominant by Gwinder of North. Do we want to read all these?
You said you wanted to.
It's a little long.
Endless Night 6 by Havlin. Exile of the West by Fabian Cerruti. Translated by Jenny Swanson.
Good versus Evil 2 by John Gestalt Bai. Les Lions Defames.
Hey, you know, we can read these now, and then when they pick the winner, we can say, and now the winner is.
Well, there's about 20 of them on here, I'd say. There's some Planescape. By Leviathan. Now, Hugie's got a couple on here. He's got the Art of Death, Back in Black, and it's For a Chance to Dream.
Last night there was somebody else on here besides Bruce Nelson that I name I recognize, but for life I can't remember who it was. It's not on here now because they home the list down.
But Will says the voting's going to start on March 1st, so we'll have to try to keep up with this.
Oh, I looked down here, and there was a post. It says falling modules shouldn't be on the list, as they're already featured in past polls. It has another list of stuff that is not eligible, I guess. Rune is one of those.
Yeah, I don't know how you can classify, like, a Nordok was to show up. Because there's, like, how many different versions of Nordok?
And if you go on down, they also have another list of modules that have not been submitted in 2006. Man, there's a lot of modules out here.
Oh, there's tons.
You could spend years playing all these. Oh, it was Enoa 4. He had one on the list, which is not on there anymore. Yeah, it was, because right here he says, hey, I got two mods on the list, Hytham 2 and UK5 Eye of the Serpent. And I think he got taken off the list because he was up for 2005. Yep, that's why he's not on there anymore. That was the other one. Thank you for finding that for me, Trey. Welcome.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see who the top Neverwinter Nights modules of the year for 2006 are going to wind up being.
Most excellent.
Hopefully we can keep up with this thread. Hopefully.
I'll make that a priority.
Cool. You the man.
Okay. Tip of the week.
Don't eat at a Mexican food or Chinese restaurant next to a dog pound.
Okay, I gotta think about that one for a second.
Shih Tzu, the other white meat.
Did you say sushi?
Shih Tzu.
Oh, goodness.
Right.
We have any site news? Hey, I added a...
Yes, we do.
I added a map, an IP map, which will show the location of everybody that hits our website.
Very cool. I noticed that.
Bad thing is it's not retro, so...
It's not like 70-ish?
Useful, funny.
Doesn't have a lava lamp and a big fro?
You are so funny. Oh, Jay, you're so funny.
We have had a couple of people commenting that they've registered on the site and not been getting their confirmation emails.
Yeah, no, we've had quite a few of those lately.
So we are looking into that. I haven't found anything yet, but we are looking and seeing why that's happening.
I'm not sure what we're going to be able to do about that unless you can figure it out, which, you know, you are the master. But anyway.
Well, I was going to look at it and make sure our settings were set correct on our website. There is a new update for the software that we're using to run our site with. I was going to try to update that, and if that didn't fix it, then I was going to get a hold of our hosting support staff and see if we can't track this thing down.
Yeah, and keep doing what the other two or three have done. Send us an email. Let us know you're having problems.
Right.
And we'll go out there and set your password to something that you'll recognize, and then you can get on and change your password whatever you want.
Another thing that's been causing some people some difficulty is once you get your account created and you post a comment to an episode, it doesn't show up right away. So we've seen some people double posting their comments, so I wanted to kind of clarify there. Our website will get a lot of spam or bots hitting our website and posting just random comments for their products on our shows, our show notes. So what we've done is we've made that moderated, so we have to review each one of those and approve them before they get put up. So if you've posted something, you don't see it right away, that doesn't mean that it failed. It just means it's gone into moderation for us to look at. We get an email when that happens, or we get an email whenever you've posted something so that we can go look at it and approve it, and we check those several times throughout the day. So give it a day. If it doesn't show up, then shoot us an email, and we'll look into it. But I've seen the same post show up twice, so I'll just approve one and kill the other one. So just wanted to, it seems like there's been a little bit of issue. I know we've been getting a lot of new subscribers and new members in the last several weeks, so I just wanted to go back over that again.
Also, check out our forums. We're getting a lot of good posts out there in the forums. Actually, I want to mention one that just came out in here today. Jay, if you'll flip over there to the forum.
I'm on my way.
Look at the episode 13 reply from Kaveen from the Gallowsburg team. He said that on a pretty quick notice that he could run a Never Winter Nights 1 DM session for us, and it'd be a great opportunity for us to see how role-playing games are done with the DMs.
Right, he'd offered this in before, and we just need to get into email communication with him so we can. First off, on our side, Trey and I need to decide how we're gonna have winners selected, and then once we do that, we'll work with Kaveen and get a time and a date set out for this thing and how big and how many people we can get in there.
And we also have an option maybe of using Sundren to do something like this too.
True.
So I was talking to Murek today over at Sundren and just wanted to know why we hadn't got on and played yet.
Well, also notice something on here, Trey. Is this a text interview with Steven Savicki?
Yes, we tried to line up an audio interview, you know, because we're a podcast and all of our interviews are done over Skype, or we try to do it over Skype, or by calling them on their landline. Evidently, Steve could not do that because of some technical issues. So when I sent him the questions for the interview and asked him if a certain date and time would be good to do the interview, and a phone number that we could maybe call him with, he instead said he would not be able to do that and sent us back his answers to the email interview. And so I posted them there on the forums for your reading pleasure. And actually, we already got a reply from Enoa Four on that interview, and he said thanks for, because evidently Steve mentioned one of his modules. He didn't say which one it was, though. Okay, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwintermaxpodcast.com, or you can get on our forums and post a question.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-outs to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo. And, as always, if you're a member of a mod team and would like to have your Neverwinter Nights module featured in our Mod Spotlight, you can check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website for questions. That's it for this week. And until next week, get in game.
Level up.